Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the Intelligent Design the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture here on a very sunny day in Seattle, Washington. As I noted in a recent podcast, there is a new anthology on intelligent design entitled Intelligent Design 101, Leading Experts Explain the Key Issues, with contributions from leading ID proponents such as Philip Johnson, Michael Behe, William Dembski, J. Wesley Richards, J.P. Moreland, and others, including myself and Logan Gage. Logan Gage and I wrote an appendix to the book Intelligent Design 101, which can actually be obtained freely by signing up to receive email updates from intelligentdesign.org. The appendix that Logan Gage and I wrote rebuts many of the common arguments for Darwinism and human-chimpanzee common ancestry as put forth by Francis Collins in his book The Language of God in the following areas: human chromosomal fusion, junk DNA in humans and apes, non-coding DNA sequences that have more differences than protein-coding sequences of DNA, and mutations that allegedly cause the evolution of human cognition and language. Collins' most common error in his rebuttal is his erroneous assumption that non-coding DNA is functionless junk. As the director of the Human Genome Project, the extent to which Collins makes this error is quite surprising and astounding, leading us to conclude that, quote, Collins' argument reveals why the Darwinian junk DNA assumption might hinder scientific research. We also state, quote, Collins assumes that some non-coding DNA is functionless junk, that such an eminent geneticist as Collins would make such a dubious assumption given its well-documented history of failure makes clear how entrenched the junk DNA mindset is within the Darwinian scientific community, unquote. Readers might also be interested in the appendix's updated rebuttal to the claim that chromosomal fusion in humans demonstrates that humans share a common ancestor with apes. I will now read an excerpt from the appendix responding to Francis Collins' book, The Language of God. To be sure, if humans and apes share a common ancestor, that would not refute intelligent design. But Collins claims that the evidence for human-ape common ancestry via purely Darwinian means is particularly strong. It is this claim that will be scrutinized here. To his credit, Collins avoids the usual simplistic argument of claiming that mere genetic similarity is solid evidence for common ancestry. Collins sees through this, noting that genetic similarity alone, quote, does not, of course, prove a common ancestor, unquote, because the designer could have, quote, used successful design principles over and over again, unquote. Collins is right. To show how this argument fails by analogy, if one discovers two similar Buicks in a junkyard, one would not conclude that one car descended from the other. Rather, one would conclude that intelligent engineers modified plans from the first Buick to make the second. In the same way, genetic similarity between apes and humans in itself is compatible with either common descent or common design. One of the most frequent arguments in favor of human-ape common ancestry is that only common ancestry explains the fact that human chromosome 2 closely resembles chimpanzee chromosomes 2A and 2B. Humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes, or 46 total. Apes, such as the chimpanzee, have 24 pairs of chromosomes, or 48 total. Darwinists contend that humans have one less pair of chromosomes than apes because somewhere in the human line, two ape chromosomes became fused into one human chromosome. Human chromosome 2 does have a structure similar to what one would expect if two chromosomes resembling chimpanzee 2A and 2B were fused to one another end to end. Collins and many other Darwinists claim this is evidence that demonstrates common ancestry. But is that true? Anyone who compares humans and chimps recognizes a high level of similarity in body structure, also called morphology. Indeed, pre-Darwinian scientists such as Linnaeus recognized similarities between species and classified organisms accordingly without assuming common ancestry. Since similar body structures are usually built using similar genes, it is not surprising to learn that our genes are very similar to those of chimps. We accept that there is good evidence that human chromosome 2 is composed of two fused chromosomes. It seems clear that a chromosomal fusion event took place at some time in our human lineage. This evidence, however, merely confirms something that we already knew. Humans and chimps share a similar genetic structure. As Collins reminds us, genetic similarity does not prove common ancestry, for genetic similarity may be the result of functional requirements, in this case possibly implicating common design. Evidence for chromosomal fusion in humans simply indicates that at some point within our human lineage, two chromosomes became fused. But this tells us nothing about whether we share a common ancestor with apes. Neither Collins nor any other Darwinist of whom we are aware speculates that this chromosomal fusion event is what caused our ancestors to become human. The fusion event merely tells us that our ancestors, whether essentially human or otherwise, once had 48 chromosomes. It does not tell us whether our ancestors were related to modern apes. The Darwinist might respond, quote, but this evidence shows that our ancestors once had 48 chromosomes, just like chimpanzees and other apes. Evolution would have predicted this evidence, so this confirms that prediction and demonstrates common descent. While they may be correct that a prediction of Darwinian theory has been fulfilled, our chromosomal fusion could have been expected based upon observations and arguments that have nothing to do with Darwinism. The Darwinist response merely restates the fact that humans and apes, like the chimpanzee, share a similar genetic structure. But long before the evidence for human chromosomal fusion was discovered, we knew about the high genetic similarity between humans and chimps. Moreover, long before we knew about the high level of genetic similarity, we knew that humans and chimps shared a similar morphology. Since DNA largely determines organismal form, this high level of human-chimp genetic similarity could have been predicted without any knowledge of evolution, based upon observations of human and chimp morphological similarity alone. After all, similar designs usually imply a similar blueprint. Thus, this fusion evidence is not independent evidence for common ancestry. Yet, as will be seen, the chromosomal fusion evidence simply strengthens the evidence for genetic similarity between chimps and humans. Since this similarity could have been expected apart from Darwinism and common ancestry, similarities between organisms may just as easily be the result of functional requirements implemented via common design. In the language of God, Collins shows the highly similar karyotypes, or sets of chromosomes, of chimps and humans. Should this similarity be surprising? As noted, morphological studies observe that humans and chimps are very similar in their body plan. Again, this similar morphology implies a similar genetic blueprint. Even if we had no conception of common ancestry, we would still expect that both species would share similar genetic blueprints, including their chromosomal scheme. Now consider a hypothetical scenario where human chromosome 2 becomes unfused. In this case, humans would now have 48 chromosomes like chimpanzees. This hypothetical karyotype would closely resemble the chimp karyotype. Evidence for chromosomal fusion strengthens our already strong knowledge that humans and chimps have a similar genetic makeup. But that's all the fusion evidence actually demonstrates. As a final illustration of why the chromosomal fusion evidence does not logically provide any special evidence for human-ape common ancestry, consider the hypothetical scenario of the double fuser people. Assume that in 2015, two members of a small, remote, isolated tribe of humans who have never had contact with modern civilization experience a second chromosomal fusion event. Within a few generations, this trait spreads throughout the small tribe until all the members of this tribe have 22 pairs of chromosomes, one less than humans currently have. We'll call this tribe the double fuser people, since they have two pairs of fused chromosomes. Then, in 2100, war, famine, and sickness kill off the entire human race, except for this remote tribe, and the human species experiences a genetic bottleneck. Many centuries later, the descendants of the double fuser tribe repopulate the Earth and rediscover genetics and Darwinian evolution. The technologically advanced double fusers examine their karyotypes and proclaim, "Wow, we humans have two pairs of fused chromosomes. Were we to unfuse these pairs, our karyotype looks just like a chimp karyotype. These two fusion events show that we must share a common ancestor with apes." But of course, from our present vantage point, we understand that the second pair of fused chromosomes and double fusers has nothing to do with chimp genetics and is far removed from any hypothetical common ancestor between humans and chimps. The second fusion event took place in 2015, and there's no logical reason why the second fusion event should cause them to infer common ancestry with apes. Yet modern Darwinists view our one pair of fused chromosomes precisely as the double fusers view their two pairs of fused chromosomes. We know that the second fused chromosome in the double fusers logically provides no evidence for human-chimp ancestry. Why should we assume the case must be any different with our one fused chromosome? As the illustration demonstrates, the fusion evidence does not tell us whether the human chromosomal fusion took place in a line that leads back to a common ancestor with chimps or in an independent line that was designed separately. What it demonstrates is that at some point in our human lineage, we had 48 chromosomes, similar to the current ape genetic scheme. However, chromosomal fusion can exist in the human lineage without assuming a human-ape common ancestor. The evidence for human chromosomal fusion does not provide special independent evidence that humans share a common ancestor with chimps. The evidence is equally compatible with either common descent or common design, even if there is no common ancestry between the two species. The chromosomal fusion evidence strengthens our knowledge that humans and chimps have similar genetics. But we could have anticipated these genetic similarities without evolution. And Collins himself admits that shared functional similarities between two organisms does little to assist in discriminating between common ancestry and common design with separate ancestry. Thus, the evidence for chromosomal fusion in humans provides no special evidence for common ancestry between humans and apes. As our rebuttal concludes, Collins argues that chromosomal fusion in humans is strong evidence for the hypothesis of human-ape common ancestry. Yet this fusion event took place entirely within the human line after our alleged split with the chimpanzee line, and by itself does not tell us whether the human line extends back to share a common ancestor with apes. At best, this evidence demonstrates that humans and chimps share similar genetics, something we already knew without evolutionary biology. Such similarities are just as easily explained by common design. Go check out the book, Intelligent Design 101, to read the full appendix and other contributions by Discovery Institute fellows such as Michael Behe, William Dembski, J. Wesley Richards, J.P. Moreland, and Discovery Institute staff such as myself and Logan Gage. There are many other topics in the book worth exploring, but I thank you for listening to this podcast and learning more about why human chromosomal fusion does not provide any special evidence that humans share a common ancestor with apes. This is Casey Luskin signing off.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Finn. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.